gratitude there means that no matter what your hand finds to do, no matter what you are doing, no matter the position you occupy, all right, that it is important that there's no murmuring and complaining, but that you give gratitude to God. And God told me, he said, tell them that whatever, every position on the earth can bring about real increase. Anything that is in the hands of anybody can bring about real increase. The question is, what type of hand is holding that particular thing? If it's the hand that has the heart of gratitude, whatever it is, it will flourish wherever they are. In other words, 5 loaves and 2 fish there was brought to Andrew. Andrew brought it to Jesus and said, there is a lad here that has just this. But what are they among so many? And despised it. And that many people are despising what they have in their hands today. All right, they look at what other people have. And once you begin to compare, you can never be grateful. Are you following what I'm saying here? Never. Because somebody will always have something on the outside more than you. Somebody somewhere will be doing a little bit better than you. And so if you get into comparison, you can't be grateful. If you're not grateful, purpose can't be released. He said, I took the same thing that was in the hands of Andrew that could only feed one person. And I said, give it to me. In other words, he said, a person can take something other people are playing with and say, give it to me. And once it gets into the hands of a person that there's gratitude, what could barely feed a family will feed 5,000 men without counting women and children. So you might be doing a job today that cannot. 5 loaves, all right, 12 fish can't go around your family properly. I'll show you scriptures, all right. But if there is gratitude there, it says from what you are doing, multitudes are going to feed one day from that spot. There is no labor that you do with your hands, God showed me, that your children's children shouldn't reap out of it. Do you understand it? There is nothing that you do with your hands that should stay that way, only just, you know, too. It should lead to something else, and then something else, and then something else, and then something else, and it becomes transgenerational there, right? But the hands there has to be a hand there of gratitude. You can do things, you know, grumbling with dissatisfaction. You know, there's that unrest in what you are doing. I wish I was in a better position. I wish I was doing. It's when you begin to hold what you are doing with a deep sense of gratitude, that is when the purpose begins inside that thing, starts unraveling. If relationships will come into your life, if things will happen, then it begins to unravel there. And many people, they hold things, but they don't hold them. They look at it and say, I have been dealt wrong cards in life. You know, other people are at an advantageous position and all of that. And all these things are not true. Everybody starts, all right, from the wrong side of the track. And with that sense of gratitude, they come to that particular point. All right? And I wrote this. God gave me this thought. I put it out on social media when I was preparing for this meeting. When you look down on and despise what God has given you, he will raise another who will value them or it, and you will see that what you counted as insignificant flourish in the hands of another person. It depends on the hands that are holding anything. In other words, it's the hand, not the thing. It is the person who is holding that thing. It is the person who touched it. I was reading something, this was in America, and a woman, and she was honest. Now, a few times people will be honest and open up. And she had gone through a divorce, her husband has remarried. And she said, I learned a lesson. He said, the same man that I threw away and I said, this man is good for nothing. Some other woman picked him up and look at her where their lives are today. He said, and when I sit and look back, I did not have to despise him that way. I see qualities now that maybe I saw in the beginning, but somehow, you know, I just got caught up into things and lost grip. And somebody else came and picked up that same thing. Jesus said, listen, if you don't praise there, he says the stones will replace you. There will be a law of replacement. All right? So it's important. You are in any position, take it. You can quote me. I'm telling what I know here. Right? I'm saying that others had the chance, but treated it as 5 loaves. What is this among so many? and you can sell birthright. Are you following what I'm saying here? It is not about the money you are getting there. It's about the purpose that is buried inside that particular place. It could be somebody you have to meet. It could be something there. All right? Now, the second thing I want to look at, and then digress to address something that the conversation that is going on in church that disturbed me, and I want to address it here and put an end to it. All right? Is that when you murmur and complain about people, I've told you God is involved in things. Is God you are murmuring and complaining about? Put up Exodus chapter 16 in the Message Bible from verse 1. Now, I want you to say something here. Now, when people don't understand this, maybe you're inside the office, you know, and let's even assume things didn't work the way we're supposed to. Is that murmuring and complaining about? And you don't know that, look, a person who is working with God is working at the deepest level on the earth. In other words, even if somebody is, you could have a troublesome boss, and God is preparing you for the kind of family you are going to get into when you get married. You understand what I'm saying? That your mother-in-law, the trouble there, and he knows that this is my will for you, so you need skill. Are you following? I'm just telling you that God is deeper than how it feels. You know, people just feel that when something doesn't feel right, I'm out. When it feels wrong, it's like feeling good about things. Are you saying that a child that tells you that I want to be eating chocolate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner because it tastes better than vegetables, you will say that love means you give him what makes him feel good? It doesn't make sense. Now, put it up here. Say this here. It says this. On the 15th day of the second month, after they had left Egypt, the whole company of Israel moved on from Elim to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And then it goes on verse 2. And it tells us, and the whole company of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. Now, who did they complain against Moses and Aaron there in the wilderness? And when they were complaining against Moses and Aaron, look at what they said. They said, woe to God. Now, next verse, please. And then I said, why didn't God let us die in comfort in Egypt where we had lamb stew and all the bread we could eat? You brought us out into this wilderness to starve us. Now, God was there, all right? Which means, Moses, you brought us to starve us to death and the whole company of Israel. And verse 4, all right, God said to Moses, I'm going to rain bread down from the skies for you. The people will go out and gather each day's ration. I'm going to test them to see if they will live according to my teaching or not. In other words, the only thing they will get will be enough for that day, not for tomorrow. So God can put you in a place where the salary is only enough for everything, nothing more. You cannot travel abroad, you can't, but God puts you there. He said, I want to see whether there will be gratitude. He said, I'm training them for something. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, now go on here. It goes on here, verse 5. And he says this. This is what I'm talking about, kingdom principles. On the sixth day when they prepare what they have gathered, it will turn out to be twice as much as their daily ration. Verse 6. And then he goes on and says, Moses and Aaron told the people of Israel, this evening you will know that it's God who brought you out of Egypt. That is not us, it's God. Verse 7. And in the morning you will see the glory of God. Yes, he is listening to your complaints against him. You haven't been complaining against us, you know, but against God. When you were complaining against us, that I hope you know it's God you were complaining about. When you got there, listen, that's what Adam did. He said, it is the woman. He wasn't complaining about the woman. He was styled God. It was the woman you gave me. It is the job you gave me. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you are complaining. Oh, come and complain and complain, complain and murmur. All right? And murmuring and complaining attracts demons. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, here's the point I want to even get into here. Now, I hear there's complaining, all right, among single sisters that there are so many single brothers in this church, but no brothers are coming to meet them. Now, listen to me. And you talk as though, all right, as though this is rare. Now, I just want to say, first of all, I've been in this, I led the campus fellowship. The sisters in the campus fellowship too were complaining that the brothers in the campus fellowship, this campus back then, were not coming to meet them. In fact, one complained so much. I'm sure she watched this morning. And I called her first name. And she complained so much that I told her one day, I said, what you are saying is from your mouth to the ears of God. Be careful. All right? Now, when people begin to complain, sisters, let me tell you this. This church has, according to statistics, which is rare, there are more men inside this church than women. By far. So there are many men inside this church. So, first of all, if you start complaining, I just want to tell you this. If you allow somebody's evil report, root of bitterness, to enter you, just know that nobody will see if you start complaining. All right? So what you're supposed to do is to just give God thanks. Now, number two, when you came to this church, God promised you, at least if he promised you, he said you will get married. Covenant Christian Center is not your source. God is your source. And I'm telling you, if he brings a man from United Nations today who is some director there and who's earning dollars and doing everything and Christian, you pray and all that, has a fellowship in New York and tells you senators, I'll come to fellowship, you will tell us, I've been there, I've done this, I'm moving on. You'll say bye-bye to all the brothers, including myself. Are you following what I'm saying here? So do not make it sound like this is your what? Source. God is your source. Now, the brothers also, I hear, are complaining that the sisters post too much. Now, let me say this here. Now, they say the sisters that, you know, so they need to go out of the church to look for more humble. In fact, let me just say this. This I heard outside. Somebody had a breakup in his... This is a church outside now, called church. And the other friend was telling the person that, listen, look what they say. Now, their churches there, they are correct sisters. And called three churches. And Covenant was one of them. Correct sisters. Then one said, Covenant, they are very intelligent too. Maybe the girls will be too sharp for us. All right, but what I'm saying is that I hear, around the streets now, that they are saying that the girls are smart and all of that. Listen, let me tell you this. You are at liberty. If you meet one lady, there's no shame here. And she says, well, you know, and I leave her. She's saying hello. And go to bed. You are at liberty. I am with you. You have my authority. As she are talking, she says, well, I just move to the next one. All right? Before you get to the end of the road. Now, listen to what I'm saying. I say I have to address this. Just show gratitude to God. Even if the nail is 6 inches. Just say that God used this to deliver me from the wrong person. And then more. I know a guy. I'm not exaggerating. This thing about him, there's no exaggeration. Asked almost 25, more than 25 girls in this church. One nail. So, I went to preach somewhere in America, in Chicago, and he told me he lives somewhere. I said he's going to come with his fiance and they will come. I mean, she's an investment banker. I said, what you saw and despised, another will carry. They came in a sports car. So I said, and I looked at all my sisters. No, because they looked at him as he was. Are you following what I'm saying here? So listen, let me tell you. If any man comes to meet you, any man, grant him the... Wait. Listen what I'm saying. Grant him the honor as a child of God. Now, I'm saying a serious Christian man. He doesn't look your speck. Grant him the honor as a child of God to ask God. Just that's all I'm saying. Before you say, no, I don't know about this, and then you tell your friend, lest 18 months down the line, he walks into church married in a double-breasted suit, and only you and God knows you missed it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, going further, let me say this. Men who have mentors rarely divorce. Rarely. The statistics are there. But you know, we concentrate on men alone. And we don't focus on women. Listen. Women, the Bible teaches that older women should teach younger women. It says submit to older ones. Because they know things you might not know. So I will advise you, instead of chatting with friends, this boy said, and everybody, the bitterness is just spreading the virus. Have a mentor. There are women inside this church that are married inside this church. If you want to know, married inside this church. If I told them inside my office, I said, you cannot spoil my record. Anybody that works with me, marry so. So you must marry. You can't spoil my record. But I'm saying, people married inside the church, ask them. Go and ask. Just have an older friend inside the church and just talk to the person. Or even people that are married, that have come to the church, just talk to the person that, all right, you married. And they will tell you. Because sometimes you are making mistakes that you don't know. I've said this, go and listen to Mrs. Johnson, former minister of communication. Go and listen to what she said. Somebody asked her a question about marriage and relationship. She spent about 10 minutes. It's one of the most powerful 10 minutes advice you can give. How the little things you do as a woman count for massive things in the hearts of men. Someone told me, say, whatever, man, I'm married. I told her, I said, you know, for almost 3 years, you walk into service chewing. I said to the friend, if your brother told you he has a girlfriend, come and meet her in church, and she was chewing the way you chewed, what will you say? That one look, couldn't answer. Answer. She now said, Pastor, why didn't you tell me when I was chewing? Did you ask me? So if I see someone chewing now, I should go and meet them. Excuse me. Are you going to say? Now, I leave the men alone because, and let me just go to the, and I'll go to the last one. But it's not a singles meeting. But some men dress like you are not heading anywhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is very difficult to receive you the way you are looking. Very hard. And let me say this here. It is not that you don't have a good job. But it is God that looks on the inside. Let me go on here. All right. I just said, because I was disturbed, and I said, I have to settle this today. Now, next week, I'll preach about casting your care. And don't let me say what I want to say. But all this prayer for marriage, stop it. It is hindering the right person from coming. Most of it is anxiety. Do you understand what I'm saying? He says, consider the lilies how they grow. He said, by taking thought, did you add one cubit to your stature? When you are too anxious about something, based on societal pressure, you are likely to make a mistake in making decisions. Cast the care. God is the one who instituted marriage, not you. God is the one that said it's not good for a man to be. It's not you. What's your idea? If God didn't institute marriage, you would have been here single for the rest of your life. It's God. So He knows who is best for you. And when you agitate about things in your heart, you spread it around you. And it's difficult in that aura to get things done. All right, let me just close with the last one here. Step 3, the right use of your mind. I'm closing. Be intentional about what you do with your hands. In other words, that's why I said you can't be casual. Some people, when they're going to work, you know that nothing can come out of what they are doing, the way they are even strolling to the office. Just strolling. You know that nothing. You know, I used to have somebody who was my neighbor. All right, when I say neighbor, we both rented 400 about Macaulay then. But one day when she was still in business, there was someone that was walking. She said, look at the way that woman is walking. I said, she's in business. I said, walking like that? Like, see the way she's walking? That's, he said, a person who understands business, they don't walk like that. And she was saying it from her heart. She told me in Yoruba, said, a person who knows business, they don't move like this. They are brisk. There's a way they go about things. If they put cameras where they're employing people, and you walk in like this, and then you sit down and slouch, I'm telling you, except your father is the major investor, Even that, they would tell him, bring another son. This one. This one. Bring any other son we have anywhere. This one we can't take. Alright? Now, you have to, getting serious here, you have to be intentional, alright, about the outcomes. In other words, when you go to work, it is clear in your consciousness what the outcome will be. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay? Be clear inside your heart. Go into it intentionally. And that comes by the right use of your mind. This is the tool here. All right? As a tool of meditation. In other words, meditate upon the answers to your faith. So you're confessing for things, meditate upon that. All right? Meditate upon it. Meditate upon what you are doing and the results that will come out. Meditate if you're in business. Take the scriptures. God will cause all grace to abound and give me sufficiency in all things. Meditate upon that. And then causing me to abound in every charitable donation. So see yourself. And that's what meditation is. Have vivid, clear pictures as you are meditating and watching the scriptures of yourself abounding in charitable donations, of going into orphanages and writing out checks, of going, see yourself going to Luth, meeting with the CMD because of the measure of money you want to invest in the pediatric ward to help children. See yourself, meditate upon that. All right, and this way when you start praying about those things, because in meditation you've got clear images built on the inside. When you start praying, it's easier to focus, all right, on the outcomes because you are meditating that way. Don't just go into things and hope that something will come out. No, find from the scriptures what God has said should and would come out, and then meditate upon that and let it get ingrained on the inside of you. Which means that with the eyes of your heart, see the reality, yourself walking in the reality, all right, of those promises. See it, all right, doing great stuff. I mean, put up 2 Corinthians 4:18. Now, when you meditate and use your mind, and most people waste their minds, Christians, in terms of they don't use the mind. That's why Paul said, he said, think about these things. Your mind is like, let's say there's sunlight, it's like a magnifying lens. Now, if there's this sheet of paper is here, let's say we are open now in this. So if we put this out in nothing's gonna happen. All right? You can feel maybe it'll be heat, hot a bit. And that's what happens to most Christian lives. You're just a bit warm, you can feel God, okay, one or two things happen, feel God. But nothing impressive. Now, if you take the magnifying lens and concentrate on one spot, just put it like this. After some time, it starts turning brown. In other words, all of this light from the energy from the sun, which is God now, is now concentrated on something. So when you are meditating on prayer, you are focusing what you are doing, God, into the labor of your hands there, right? And then things begin to happen. And put up 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, first and verse 18. And this is what it means here. It says, for the light affliction, which is for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How does this happen? While we look not to the things that are seen. So we are focused on things that, we are not focused on things that are seen, but on things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are what? The word temporal doesn't mean they don't last forever. It means they are subject to change. Whatever you see, you can change. Once you can see it, you can change it. If you see this speakers here, it can disappear. See wood here, you can come tomorrow, you won't see it. You see a building, it's subject to change. What you don't see is what cannot be changed. You use what you can't see to change what you can see. And the way you do it is that you focus on the unseen that nobody else is seeing except you until it takes the shape. What you can see takes the shape of that. So intentional. You wake up in the morning, 15 minutes, all right? Every day, give yourself some private space. Meditate upon what God has told you. Meditate upon it. Look at it. See it happening. All right, within your life. You can go to the gym for 30 minutes every day to build your physical muscle. Spend at least 15 minutes every day developing that. All right, have your confession and you declare that. Now we have this, I've given out here, it's a prayer card for the kingdom of God for this month of September, and it should also go into all the cells. And we have confessions, and this is a confession throughout this month we'll be making at the end of the service. So we'll no longer be making that confession. We'll be making confession concerning the things we are praying collectively at the end of it. But meditation does that. All right? Get into a quiet place and do that. Put up the declaration. All right. Now, the way we've done the declaration is that Listen, whatever you are going to find the opportunity to get done in your life must have already happened. What hasn't happened will not happen. That's why you call into existence those things that be not as though they are. Because when you do that, then you create the opportunity for it to happen. So you must talk about what you want to happen in the next 3 months as what happened in the last 3 months. That's it. The Bible says if they had been mindful of the country from which they came, they will have created opportunities to return. So what you do in calling things that be not as though they were is that you talk about your future as something you already experienced. And when you do that, then you see the opportunities to get into it.
Thank you for listening.